Hello, everybody. Jim Malone here, coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It's Friday, and the market was up early before the debt ceiling debacle happened, and then it pulled off in the after hours. so we basically went up, and we made some headway, and then not so much. So it's once again a tale of two cities. I guess tale of two markets. Some of my stocks did fairly well, and I want to show you those. But first, let's kind of get into some of the aspects of this. And one of them is the S&P 500 ETF, which is known as the SPDR. It's one of the original ETFs out there. And the SPDR basically was making nice headway today, of course, prior to the debt ceiling kind of discussions, and then it pulled off. So basically what the way that looks is, of course, we're moving up very nicely. We moved up to the critical 420 line. This is the $420 mark on the SPDR. This is sort of where the resistance is. And then, of course, it did back off after that. So, definitely a kind of thing where we're, it's a tale of two kind of markets here. If we look at the 5-minute chart on the SPDR, you can see that we were making very, very nice headway, basically prior to about the 2 o'clock hour. That's when they went live in DC, and then we pulled back, and then we kind of finished the day right at 419. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, 420 is a very critical number for the SPDR, but we are still in a confirmed uptrend, so that's a good thing. We are still in a confirmed uptrend, so we still want to be coming out of cash into the market. I did reduce my exposure a little bit today. I moved from about 55% down to about 40%. I took profits in Tesla, and I also took some profits in Palantir. I had several positions in Palantir, but I am in a lot of other stocks. And here's kind of what the status is. So let's go down the list of stocks basically. And what we have here, of course, is the first one, of course, is AMD. I was off a little bit on that one. We were down about $2.11 on that, or about 1.95%, so a little less than 2%. Also, I'm holding Google. We were up just slightly on that one, not a lot, 0.22%. Intel, we did move up on Intel. So Intel is kind of bucking the trend. It's moving against the other stocks that did pull back. But this one, it's in a base, and I do think that we will be seeing it going higher. Now, normally I wouldn't buy a stock like this, but I do believe it's done. It's pulling back, and hopefully we'll be going forward on that one. Going up. I have a position in Rawlings, which is an interesting company. It's just basically a pest control company, and they were off a little bit, but it's setting up very nicely as well. It was at 41.05. TJX, of course, we talked about this one yesterday. This is the off-price retailer, and I do expect that they're going to do quite well in a consumer constrained market. They're looking fairly good. They're doing far better than some of the other retailers, and I do believe that they're set up much better to take advantage of a slow market than some of the other companies out there. And of course, the Trade Desk, TTD, this is a company that competes with both Microsoft, Google, and Meta, and they place ads in other people's websites. So it's a very interesting company and quite a good stock. And it was down a little bit, but overall looking pretty good. I did pair my positions on that one. The stock of the day that we have is Lifetime Fitness, believe it or not. Normally I would not recommend a stock like this, but it is coming out of a nice base with a handle, And it has a relative strength against the market composite of 96. That puts it in the top 4% currently of stocks. It has a 2045 buy point on the 21-day line. So right now it's at 1958. And if it does move above right to that 2045, that would be a situation where we could probably get into the stock. I'm not currently in it, but I do like it a lot based on its technical action, not necessarily the industry that it's in. All right, well, let's get to some of the questions here from everyone, and let's see. Yeah, thank you for tuning in here. Let's see. IAS, and this is from Matt Anderson. So let's take a look at IAS. If I can bring it up here. Yeah. IAS. Yeah, there we go. This is Integral Ad Science. This is not a company that I know all that much about. Looking at the chart here, I'm looking at the daily chart. It definitely is coming up. It had a consolidation down here. It's moving above the 200-day line. We definitely like seeing that. That's so, so important. When a stock moves above that 200-day line, because that's where we really don't want to buy something that's below that 200-day line. It in the long run, it usually is not a good strategy. So this is definitely moving very nicely above that 98 relative strength, and it does look like it has a high point here, 1768. We're currently at 1792. We're off a little bit from the high today at 1695. So this would be a higher high potentially here. Now the question is, can we get into this? Well, right now, strictly speaking, we probably have to wait a little bit until this thing pulls back to about 1592. So we're about 16. If it pulls down to that level, then we could possibly do something here. I just, in this kind of market where we have these reversals like we've been having, we want to make sure that it pulls back to close to the 21-day line. The reason the 21-day exponential line is so important is because much of the market is traded programmatically, and this is a key indicator for many of the funds. Many of the programmers are quite lazy, and they will always key off that 21-day exponential. So we can make money by following following that closely and trying to buy as close to that 21-day exponential index line as we can. So overall, I would say this has a really good checklist. I think this is a definite buy, but you've got to wait for it to pull back to the 21-day line. Currently on this stock, the 21-day line is at 6.44. And I do like the fact that this is in a very good group, a group that I'm following obviously very much. And that, of course, is the semiconductor group. And I definitely like that as well. Integral Ad Science. I'm not that familiar, again, with the company, but it does, I mean, it's set up very, very nicely. It's making a nice move. And I think if you could buy it close to that 21-day line, that would be a good place possibly to get into the issue, would be right about that 21-day line. So I would try to wait to see if you can get a pullback to about 16 before I would do anything there. But looking very, very good. Looking very, very good. Thanks for that very much. Hey, Troy, I hope things are going well up there in Toronto. Basically, where is oil going? Well, you know what? One of the only stocks that did well today was Occidental Petroleum, OXY. And OXY obviously is benefiting from the large investment by Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett. This stock obviously is doing very well. Now, interestingly enough, with Occidental Petroleum, Occidental Petroleum's holdings are primarily located in the Permian Basin, which covers West Texas and part of New Mexico, and this is the number one producing area in the United States for oil production domestically that is onshore, that is not offshore oil production. And so this has been seeing some very big movement by Occidental, by the Buffetts. Let's see if I can get that Oh, sometimes I'm just having problems again today with the charts. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to go over here to Occidental OXY. And let's see if we can take a look at that. Yeah, Occidental Petroleum, that's come up nicely on the screen. As you can see, I've traded it quite a bit. Right now, currently, though, I am not in the stock. I did get stopped out of my position in the in the oil stocks when when I got stopped out of ExxonMobil, if you can believe that. But I did. I actually got stopped out of that. So I have not been trading it. Now, here's the thing about Occidental, and this is probably the best in the groups, the best of the oil stocks. And that is, it is, but the problem with this stock right now, the way I see it, is that it is below, let's see if I can get this to, this window to, I'm having a little bit of a throughput problem, I think. Okay, come on. There we go. Trying to move my window here. I can do it kind of, there we go. Okay, so here's the issue with Occidental Petroleum. Even though this is up today, I think you've got to be super careful in this one. Why? Because we're trading below that 200-day line. I don't really like to buy anything below that. Why? Because that's telling us that the water is going out. It's kind of the tide is going out. When it's trading below that 200-day line, that's where we got to be careful. But if it potentially hit a low of 55.51. This is sort of what I'm looking at technically. We did hit the bottom of a consolidation, and we have moved up from there, and we're right at the 21-day line. So if you could actually, if you want to be in oil, this is probably the one that you want to be in currently, and that is Occidental Petroleum OXY, and it has moved up above that 21-day line. Now let me just take a look, see where that 21-day line is. Yeah, currently we're right on it. We're at 0.0885 below the 200-day line, below the 21-day line. This is a very good place to get into, but I wouldn't go in with a full position here. I would probably try to half position maybe, and then if it moves higher. Now here's another issue with, now Warren Buffett is a very, very long-term trader. Obviously we're not quite as long-term. We're more trend traders. There's another issue here with Oxy, and that is it only has a 38 relative strength. So probably the best thing to do, I mean, we could take, more of a risk and go into it. But I think probably the best thing to do is probably wait a little bit, see if it can trade above the 50-day moving average. That would be kind of where, where you would probably see the best things to happen after that. So probably just watch this one. Wait a little bit at a time. Not really sure about the price of oil, but I definitely think we're going to see it firm up once we get into summer. There's always a demand for oil in the summer. It does look like oil prices are making a move a little bit higher than they were, but still, we need really crude oil to be above about $85 a barrel, really, to see another rally in the oil stocks, because that's just really, $85 a barrel in West Texas is about the cost of production. So that's kind of the area that, when we get above $85 in oil, typically that's when we start to see a rally. So that's kind of the long and the short of oil, at least for right now. Let's take a look at, let's see, Palantir. Let's take a look at Palantir. This, of course, is the AI stock. This is a very interesting stock. It's, of course, one of the primary backers of Palantir, PLTR, is Peter Thiel. And, of course, he was one of the primary investors, obviously, originally in PayPal, and also he was a major backer of Elon Musk with Tesla. So interesting situation here. The fundamentals look pretty good. As you can see, this is sort of how I've been playing it. This is my reversal line here. I drew it from basically back here down to the 200-day line. We moved above the 200-day line. I started buying basically when we got halfway between The 200-day line and the pivot on this one, 1031 is the pivot. We're currently in the aftermarkets at 1162. We did have the day closed at 1171 off, just a little slightly. What we did is we gave up all the gain. We went all the way up almost to 13, and then we pulled back. I think that we're very likely to see more investment in Palantir. Why? Because Palantir has crossed a very important point, kind of the Rubicon of stocks, and that is $10 a share is very, very critical when you're looking at stocks, because most funds, most hedge funds, most ETFs will not invest in a fund, in a stock, unless it has a share price above $10. And that is just exactly what happened with Palantir. Now, it has retraced a tremendous way, because it was, when it came out as a stock originally, and let's take a look at the monthly chart, it was way, way, way up here, as you can see, at over $40 a share. And then it pulled all the way down to essentially about $8.50 or so. Well, actually, it did a little bit lower than that. And then now it's making its way higher. So we're definitely seeing some strength here. This is the problem when you're buying IPOs. This isn't really an IPO, but this stock hasn't been around all that long. We're looking here at the weekly chart here. This stock hasn't been around all that long. It has gone through several quarters, and here's the one thing that is good. They're getting sales increases of about 20% quarter over quarter. So that's looking very strong. That's really what you're looking for in kind of a stock like this. You're looking at, to see that kind of growth. It hasn't been, obviously, in the last 2 years or so, it's not been as easy to come by as it has in the past. But 20% quarter over quarter growth, that's what you're looking for in a stock. You're also looking for very high relative strength as well. So that's kind of the situation there. So would I recommend Palantir at this point? Well, technically we are extended, but there we go. Little bit of issues regarding bandwidth. I don't have enough bandwidth, unfortunately, in this building to run this. There we go. Let's go back to the regular camera. And there we go. So that's kind of the issue that we're seeing with Palantir. It definitely has made a nice move above the pivot. So I definitely seeing, especially with this volume, I definitely think that we're going to see more action. If you'll notice, and I think you can see this on the chart, hopefully I can grab that window. It's not letting me grab the window. Sorry. Okay, maybe it'll let me grab the window. Hold on. There we go. So maybe we can get back there. There we go. Okay. So basically, what's happened here is that we definitely have moved above that critical $10 mark, and then we're above the pivot. So yesterday, Palantir had its largest volume since the stock happened. So I definitely think this is doable. I would see if you can get a little bit of a pullback, but I definitely think we're in an acquisition phase right now by some of the larger funds. So definitely something that is worthwhile taking a look at, Palantir. And I definitely think it's finally bottomed, and I think we're going to probably be able to see some good movement there. All right, let's take a look. All right, thank you, sir. I am trading the SPY. Can you go over that sometimes? Absolutely, Kevin. Thank you so much for taking a look at the show. I do appreciate it. Hopefully, I can get this up for you. Oh gosh, it's just not being very cooperative today. So let's pull up the charts here, and I'm going to look here at the Spider SPY. And of course, this is the original ETF. This is the exchange-traded fund that covers the oh goodness gracious, I'm just having more problems. I can't lock these. I'm having trouble locking these charts in. Hold on. Let's see if I can get it back up. There we go. All right, so looking at There we go. Okay. So looking at the chart for the spider, here's what's going on with that. We have a situation where we were coming right up to this 420 mark. This is a very, very important mark. If the spider can move above this 420 mark and hold it, then we're probably going to see another, I would say, we're going to see another move up to about, we're going to see a movement up to about 435. So we're going to see about a 5% gain. But if it can't, and that's sort of what happened today, then we're going to be probably stuck with a sideways motion. But I definitely think that, you know, the market will digest this this latest Fed pronouncement. And I definitely think that we're likely to go above 420 on the spider by the middle of next week. So, but don't, at this point, don't commit too much capital until we have confirmation that we're going to go higher. But the market has been trending higher really for the last week or 2 weeks. So I definitely think we're going to see a continuation of that going forward. So with the spider, you know, this is one of the largest largest ETFs in the world, and it typically trades, you know, it's really a proxy for the overall market. So the question is, when you're trading the spider, what you're really doing is you're looking at the overall market and to see if we are moving higher in the market. Now, we are in a confirmed uptrend in the market. So therefore, it's a pretty good bet that if we move past 420, that will give a buying signal for the spider. So good way of looking at things. All right, let's take a look at Mr. Jeet. Let's look at SITM. See if I can bring that up. SITM. Okay. There we go. All right. And I don't know this company. I don't know this company, but definitely we are trading below the 200-day moving average. We're definitely seeing, it looks like it's bottomed, but it's got a relative strength of 17. Here's the thing about this. You know, I just want to see a better setup than this. This is not a particularly good setup. Also, if you'll notice, the 50-day line is making a move down, sloping down, and it could cross below the 200-day line. If that happens, that is a negative signal. So I would be very, very cautious going into this one. I probably would not be a buyer at this level. I just probably would not be a buyer at this level of this stock. Just too difficult when it comes to that. All right, let's go to Kevin. I guess. Oh, there we go. All right, so let's look also DE. This is Deere, John Deere, and this had been doing quite well. Let's take a look and see what's happening with this one. I remember hearing today, and I haven't been watching Deere very closely. Oh, there we go. All right, there we go. So let's go and put in DE. Take a look at Deere, John Deere. All right. Moving it over for everybody on TikTok. We looks like we're in a downward trend, unfortunately, on Deere. We're below that 200-day line. Here's the thing with Deere that I don't like seeing, and just looking at this chart, just technically, the 50-day cross below the 200-day line, and that was basically just last week. So it is showing a lot of weakness, and it did gap up and then gap down. So we have a problem with Deere. We have relative strength of 43, and the relative strength line is moving lower. So I would be out of Deere here. If you're down more than 7% on this stock, you need to probably start cutting your positions, because this is definitely going lower based on my reading of this technicals here. We came off of cup with handle, but it was way back, unfortunately, in October. And then we've been pulling back ever since. So I just can't get behind this one. I think you gotta be very careful with this. You need to reduce your position or possibly sell. We might get a bounce here, but I don't like the trend of this. We have a downward trend on Deere. So I would be very, very, very careful on this one. Just wouldn't. Technically, it just not. Technically, I don't like the looks of this chart, and I just think it's better to protect your capital. It just really, that's really what makes most sense. All right, Mr. Sandeep, thank you. Tesla, this is one that I sold today. As you know, I was in it just very shortly. I was just totally on a technical move that I made on Tesla. Now, hopefully we can get it going. Come on. There we go. All right. So Tesla, TSLA, of course, is the symbol for that. There we go. And looking at Tesla, I did sell today. And why did I sell? Well, I sold because it came up to the 50-day moving average. Tesla, if you'll notice, is still below the 200-day line. So therefore, it is not as Tesla is not as strong as we'd like to see it. Relative strength on Tesla is only 25. It did come up to that 50-day line, but you'll notice in the after hours it's starting to pull back. That's one of the reasons I sold. Now, if the thing pulls, if Tesla pulls back to the 21-day line here, it's about 5% above that, I will be buying once again there. If it moves back to about 172, I will be a buyer at 172, and then I think it will move higher once again. It is starting to level out, and the technicals are looking better for Tesla, but the problem with Tesla has a number of issues. One of the biggest issues, of course, if we go to the weekly chart, is all the people that purchased Tesla way above where it is now. So there are many people here, if we go back about 18 months, that were buying in a between 340 and 400. Many of these people are going to be selling as soon as it gets near to 180 or 200. Why? Because they're going to cut their losses. This is what they call overhead supply. It's a term that is used in CAN/SLIM trading. Tesla, unfortunately, has huge overhead supply. So the way I've been playing Tesla is wait for the pullback to one of the index lines or the bottom of the consolidation, which is right now at about 157, and then wait for that and then buy it as it moves there and then moves up to about the 40-day line, which is about 180. So it's kind of in that range. You can definitely make money on Tesla, but I did sell it today. I'm going to wait for it to pull back a little bit more. And the thing about this is that, you know, right now, as it's going sideways, you can kind of rinse and repeat. You can wait for the pullback, buy it, let it move, sell it, and so forth. So there you go. All right, thanks. WMT, this is Walmart. And, of course, this is the biggest retailer in the world. The retailers, I only have one retail stock currently, and that, of course, is TJX, which is TJ Maxx. But let's look at Walmart. The problem that Walmart and Costco have is that they are so large that really, if they can just perform at the market, then they're doing well. And I'm afraid that we're going to see some weakness, you know, with this inflation. And part of the reason, you know, that we saw the Fed basically kind of back off a little bit was because of the potential of problems going forward. Now, of course, they're having to do this to get the inflation rate down, but it does look like, I don't think long-term, at least in the short term, there we go, come on. Sorry. Let's see if I can get this back here. Hold on. Let's see if I can get this chart back. Right. I think I lost it altogether there, didn't I? Oh, I did. I lost the chart. Okay. Let's see if I can get the chart back here. Let's see if I can do that. Oops, I got to bring the chart up again. So let's see if it'll let me do that. Okay, let's see if we can do that. There we go. Now I should be able to show you the chart. There we go. So now we're back with the Walmart chart, and hopefully this will perform a little bit better than we've had it. So just not letting me grab the just not letting me grab the corners here. Let me see if I'll just use the camera and just pivot the camera. We're currently Walmart is in a buy zone, but it does seem to be pulling back to the pivot. The pivot is 148.30-31, so not doing that well. We have a relative strength line that's moving lower. I would be careful if this is, let's see if we get a bounce. I think we may get a bounce at the 50-day line for this 147. So if it does pull back a little bit more, then we might get another opportunity here on this. Let's see if I can. Okay. There we go. So, okay. So hopefully now I have a little bit more leeway here on this. Okay. So here we are basically with the Walmart chart. All right. We are with the Walmart chart. Sorry about the difficulty that I've been having. It's just, for some reason, I don't have enough bandwidth. But anyways, we've pulled back basically to there. We're in a downward trend. 83 relative strength, still very, very strong. 80 or better is one of the criteria. We had some nice earnings come out, but I think that we're going to get a pullback. Let's wait for a reversal. I think, people waited for the numbers. They were fairly good for Walmart, but then people sold. So there's not a real lot of excitement for this. The retail department store, major department store discount chains is 136 out of 197. So not as good as a TJX. So I'd be careful with this one. Probably would not be a buyer here for Walmart. All right, Google Golden Cross, absolutely. Let's take a look at that. I'm in Google, as you know. That was a very, very good pickup there, Sandeep. Definitely a good look there. Yeah, we do have a Golden Cross on Walmart, on Google, excuse me, not on Walmart. On Google, we have a Golden Cross. This is why I was trying to acquire this more. Oops, there we go, come on. So right there, you can see it. I'll just point to it. We have a Golden Cross on Google. So this is a very, very bullish sign. Now we have been making this lineup, but notice right now how the index lines are properly stacked on Alphabet, which is Google. We've got the 10-day at the top, 21-day exponential, 50-day, and then 200-day. This is the correct stacking. And we have high volume. So it does look like, even though their earnings were not as stellar as they normally were, this is why I started acquiring Google. I will probably try to acquire more if it pulls closer to the 21-day line. I don't want to buy it too far above that. Currently, we're 8.5%, 8.6% above that. So I want to wait for it to pull back a little bit closer to this green line, give it a little bit more time, and then buy more because this does look like it is making a very, very good move. Now, the internet content area, I also have another stock in this area, which is TTD, the Trade Desk. This is a strong area and it's getting stronger. Their ad revenues are good. So what I would recommend here is I would wait for a pullback closer to that 21-day line. So if it pulls back to say 120 or 119, this is a good buying opportunity for Alphabet, even though it's not technically in a absolutely totally pristine base. But this is a good opportunity. We have a Golden Cross on it. Relative strength is 92, so we're in the top 8% of the market, and we have very, very good profits. So that's a good place to go. All right. Well, let's see. I guess that's pretty much it. Has he bought anything above in 3 months? No, I haven't. Okay. Part of the reason I've been, let's see. Palantir. He was a 50% sake. You can see 55. Okay. With your analysis. All right. So let me take a look at this. This is from TikTok. Here, I'm looking here. All right. Oh, follow the host. Thank you for following me, by the way. Do you catch puts on the spider? I'm not doing puts right now on the spider because I think we're in a relatively bullish market. So I might be doing calls, but I probably selling calls, but I don't think I would be buying puts right now. I just don't think I would be buying puts right now because I do think at least in the next few weeks, we're likely to see an upward trend in the market, even though we had a little bit of a pullback today. So that's kind of my feeling on that. All right. Probably last question here. Thank you so much. Hey, Jim, what are your thoughts on OR? Let's take a look at OR. OR is... Oh, Asseco Gold Roses. This is one that I did have. Now, interestingly enough, you know, we had been pulling back. This kind of fell down, and then, boom, it's moving up again. We got a very, very nice bounce at the 50-day line. I'm still very bullish on the gold miners. I'm very bullish on them. They're falling a little bit, but they're 10 out of 197. This one is a very good one. Oh, I own this briefly, but looking very good. This is a $16 stock. Very good exposure for Canadian, for some of the Canadian gold mines. 96 relative strength on this one, and definitely looks like it's bounced at the 50-day line. This is a good place to buy it because, as you can see, we came in, we had a pull down, and then boom, it just once the announcement from the Fed, we were right off to the races again. So this is looking very good. I want to look to see kind of how. Now, the thing about gold is that it tends to, because it's a commodity, the group tends to move in synchrony. So what I want to look here is to see if I can, well, it's not letting me do it, but I want to look at other ones. Okay, yeah, 89 checklist. This is excellent. Pattern recognition. We are cup with handle. We're 13% above. This is excellent. Can we buy it here? Absolutely, because we are below the 21-day line. Yeah, you could definitely increase. If you have this one, I would hold it. If you want to move into this more, I definitely think that you can. With the jitters in the economy, this is likely to do very, very well. Because remember, every time the price of gold goes up, the gold miners benefit exponentially because their overall costs don't increase that much. Typically in Canada, many of these major miners that have good mines, their cost to produce 1 ounce of gold is about $1,000. That's $1,000 to $1,200. And if the price of gold just goes up $10, you can see that there's a lot of leverage on that. So this is looking very, very good as well. All right, Bank of America. Boy, I don't know. I haven't been in the money center banks, but let's look at BAC. Be the last one here. Bank of America. This is a pretty awful chart. I think that you've got to be super careful. Again, here's the thing, and I just want to show you this. We have the death cross on Bank of America. You can see that in about the second week of March, the 50-day line dropped below the 200-day line, and the 200-day line is in decline. So that tells you that there's weakening appetite for Bank of America. Even though it's one of the money center banks, most of the banks are weak. Why? Because they hold all of these U.S. treasuries. And of course, if the rate on the treasuries goes up, the value of their assets go down. And this is what killed Silicon Valley Bank and some of the other ones. And Bank of America holds a lot of U.S. treasuries, as does all the banks. So banks are not really an area that I really like to invest in, primarily because really they are, in a sense, receivers for U.S. government debt. And they really, that's how they operate. So, anytime you have interest rates, that's part of the reason why we've had interest rates down where we've had them so long. Why? Because, if foreign governments are not buying U.S. debt, then the feds rely on the money center banks and the banks to buy their debt. So not a good situation to be in. I'm not really very interested in trading the banks. I just don't think they're, at least right now, they're not looking very strong at all. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. If you could, always, it would be great if you could go and smash that like button. Really appreciate it when you smash the like button. It helps us get out there to a lot of people. Also, if you want to get if you want to get on the Action Trade Alerts, very easy to do. All you have to do is go to www.dallastradingfloor.com and or potentially you could, oops, wait a minute, that's the wrong one. Or you can just go up here right to this go right up to the QR code, click on that QR code with your camera. It'll take you right to the sign up for subscribing to Dallas Trading Floor. I'll be back on Monday, everybody. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you back here on Monday at 5. Happy trading.